72, How to Train Your Spirit. And the title of tonight's lesson is Put God's Word in First Place. We're going to cover the last two steps of the four steps. Remember, the first step was recognize the integrity in God's Word. These are four steps to training your spirit. The second step was meditating God's Word. The third step we're going to talk about right now is put God's Word in what place?
First place.
First place. Proverbs chapter 4. Okay, let's have someone read this for us. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. Who would read those for us, please? All right, Seth?
20, 21, and 22.
Right, read them slowly and with some volume, too, so we can hear what you're saying.
My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are the life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh.
Okay, verse 20, Seth, who's he talking to here?
Us.
Us, very good. And what's he say in verse 20 to do?
Listen to his words, pay attention to them.
Pay attention, that's good. Pay attention, God's saying, to my words. What's the second thing he says in verse 20, Seth?
Incline your ear to my sayings.
God is basically saying here, put my word in first place. If you attend to something, you give it precedence over something else, don't you? I mean, have you ever used the expression, I'm sorry, I can't do this with you, I have to attend to something else? Or it means you have something else that has priority over that. God's saying, make my words your priority as words. How do we do that, Lord? And the first thing Seth Reddy says, well, number one, if you want to give my word first place in your life, incline your ear into what I'm saying. All right? Now read verse 21.
Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart.
Two more things. Let them not depart from your what? Eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. God is telling us here how to get his word down in our heart. There's three steps. Number one, make it first place in your life. Number two, listen to it every chance you get. Number three, read it every chance you get. Then it will get down in your heart. Because let's put it this way. Let's say you never read the word. Let's just say, for example, that, you know, let's say all you ever did was watch TV for your information. Now that's what you're inclining your ear to, that's what you're not letting depart from your eyes, that's what you're attending to. What's your life going to be like? It's going to be a lot like, if you're not careful, what you see on TV.
Right.
I mean, your beliefs are going to, I mean, people say, well, I can watch this, it doesn't affect me. You be careful, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want faith in the things of God, hear God's word. If you want things in faith of the world, faith in the world, hear the things the world's saying. And you can be a Christian, born again, going to heaven when you die, and live not much different than the world in terms of what you receive out of life and everything else. Because why? Because you're inclining your ear into the world's sayings. You're letting those things not depart from your eyes. You're attending to those words. And if you do that, you're not going to be a lot different than the world. And God wants us different. And so he tells us exactly how to do it. He says, get those words down in your heart, and keep them there. Well, does he tell us this just for an academic exercise? The next verse tells us why he wants us to do it. Seth, what did verse 22 say?
For they are the life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh.
These words are your life. Your life will resemble his words. Your life will resemble him more as you do his words. They are life to those that find them. See, those that who? That find them. How do we find them? By attending to them, inclining our ear to them, let them not depart from our eyes. That's how you find his words. And they'll be what? Health to all your flesh. You got a sickness or something that's been bugging you? Get in his word. Find out what his word says. Act on that. Now verse 23. Who wants to read that? We found out how to get the words in our heart now, didn't we? That's what the first two verses were about, or three verses. Now 23. Steve, would you read that?
Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life.
Verse 24.
Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you.
You know, it took me some meditation on the Word to figure out the connection between verse 23 and 24. Let me just tell you what I got from meditating on these verses, not this week, but a long time ago. I was meditating on this, and it says, the way we get our words down in our heart, we just talked about that, didn't we? Now it says, once you get His words in your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I thought, what in the world does that mean, out of my heart? What is He talking about, coming out of my heart? And then as I meditate on this, the Lord just spoke to me about Matthew 12, 34. Yeah. In other words, you can read it this way. I'll go back to 22. No, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them whispering in your heart, because they are life unto those that find the health through all their flesh. Therefore, keep that heart with all diligence. In other words, what he's saying is keep that heart where you've got that God's word in it with all diligence, because out of your heart, your mouth will speak. If you get the wrong word in your heart and listen to the wrong word, that's what you're going to speak. What God taught me through this is you will speak what you put in your heart.
Right.
You can't help it. God's word says out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth might speak,
yeah, will
speak. You want to speak God's words and you're having trouble speaking His words, get in the Word. That's your trouble right there, because you're not in the Word. You want to, but you hear this all the time. I mean, people give themselves away all the time.
That's right.
You can't listen to somebody talk for 2 minutes so you can find out whether they're in the Word or whether they're in the world as Christians. And you're not judging them. It just, they open their mouth and here it comes. You know, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Now you can understand verse 24. Therefore, put away from you a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. Because if you don't, I mean, you got to put something else in your heart so that your lips speak the right thing. See, it's all connected here. It's a beautiful little lesson here in these four or five verses. So, folks, we got to what? Go ahead.
I think it's too bad that more people don't do topical studies, because I think they read a chapter and they don't get anything out of it. So even if they are spending time in the Word, they're still not getting, you know, what they need.
That's why I think it's good to have something like a concordance or a Knave's Topical Bible. Knave's Topical Bible is a little different than concordance, and I'll tell you how it differs. For one thing, when you look up a subject like love, it will give you all the verses that deal with the word love, or things that are don't even have love in the verse, but it's dealing with love. You know, things about love, like treat your neighbor kindly or something. I mean, I'm just a bad example maybe, but it's about love, but it doesn't have the word love in it. It will give you all those things, and it also gives you the verse right there. You don't have to look it up. It's like a Bible, but by topics. And I've gotten a lot of good meditation out of this. Take a topic like patience or love or healing or something like that, and just go through there and meditate upon those things. And just... Now, some of the verses won't speak to your heart, but as you go, then I'll highlight certain ones and I'll go back over those, you know, pick out maybe five or six ones that really zing my spirit and just meditate on those. I heard a leading teacher of the Word say one time, he said, take a subject. He said, I recommend love, because that's the one thing that's paramount in your life. He said, and meditate upon 1 Corinthians chapter 4 through 7 for 30 days every day. Meditate on those verses. He says, you won't know yourself for 30 days. He says, your life will change so much. And that's a good, because that's a, like Danielle's saying, that's a topical study. You're concentrating on one thing. You're just soaking your spirit up with this topic. And you learn so much. You train your spirit then, you see. And then as you begin to change the way you approach life, where you used to just go, well, what do I do in a case like this? What does the word say? You begin to find yourself saying all the time, when you talk to your husband, you talk to your wife, and you have a little situation arise in your marriage or your life with your kids or your personal life, your finances, whatever, you begin to say, well, what does the Bible have to say? Does the Bible have anything to say about this? What does it say? See, you're never going to, see, this is the thing, you'll never go wrong by doing what it says in here. God will never let you fail if you do what His Word says.
He wants to bless us.
But He wants to bless you. They didn't understand Jesus all the time, did they?
No.
He got a lot of persecution. Where did most of it come from? The religious people.
Mm-hmm.
But He was a doer of His Father's Word. That was His meat, He said, and His drink was to do His Father's Word. And the works of His Father He will do, He said. And He set His face like flint to do what His Father said to do. That's what we should do. And not just as a dry exercise to see what God can do. You know, here's the thing. I think that most Christians, the main thing they're missing is an exciting Christian life that they never are experiencing. There should be more to most Christian lives than there really are. And the reason they're missing it is because they never learn this lesson to be a doer of the Word. Because when you get out on God's Word, you're putting yourself in a place where exciting spiritual things are going to start happening in your life. Because you're fitting yourself with His Word. And now for once you can start doing the things He's always wanted to do in your life. Because you're lining up with His Word. Yes, Steve?
If we don't do that, we're not really effective in this world to help other people in their sickness, to heal them, in their poverty, to clothe and feed them, in their desperate need for salvation.
Right.
We have little efforts to do these things, but not really effective like Jesus did.
Exactly. You know, we go to minister to somebody, and all of a sudden we start telling them what we heard Oprah say. If we're not, you know, because we're not in the Word and we're listening to TV so much. We say, well, you know, Oprah dealt with this problem on, you know, she had some weird people on there that had this problem. I'm not trying to be funny here, really. I mean, this is so sad. It's almost as this way. You hear Christians talking about what they should do. And if you would say, well, you know, have you ever considered what the Bible says here? They look at you like you've lost your mind. I've had actually businessmen say to me, but this is business, Mike. And they're Christians. This is business. Like it's all separate somehow.
Yeah.
They just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and college, I mean, how bad is that? To find out sociology and psychology, and that's good.
But you can get through that junk if you got the Word, you know. I mean, some of these courses you got to take, and I think God understands that. But if you're reading the Word every day, you can roll off it like water off a duck's back and get through the course and get on to something else, you know. You know, so many seminaries have missed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the Word's really saying about things. They get so caught up in what their church believes and the doctrine in the church and all this that the Holy Spirit, they don't realize it, but they just push Him right out. I mean, it's not God's Word anymore, some of the stuff they're doing, and some of the stuff they're espousing is church doctrine. That comes first, and the Word comes second. They don't realize that, but by their actions, Jesus said, you shall know them, you know? It's what people do, and what they say is who they are. And if you really, really, really want to train your spirit, really, really, really want to grow with God, find out what His Word says. But you never find out unless you get the revelation and recognize the integrity that's in His Word. So many Christians are saying, use me, God, use me. He can't. Because they're just saying more of the same stuff that the world is saying, you know? He loves them. He'd like to. But how can He? Unless you have truth. He says, if you are my disciples, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you continue in my word, He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free, and then you can go set others free. But the first thing in that series of verses was, if you continue in my word.
Right.
See?
That's what we're doing.
He said, if you abide in my word, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Why can God say that? Why can He risk His reputation on saying that you can ask whatever you will, and I'll give it to you? Because He knows if you're abiding in Him and His word's abiding in you, you're going to ask for word things. You're going to major in things that are in here that He can bless you with. You won't be some crazy prayer that doesn't make any sense to God, you'd be praying in line with His Word because you're abiding in His Word. See, it all ties together and it all reinforces itself. I hope through this, you know, that you're getting the revelation, if you didn't have it before, of how just how important this is. Because this word in most places today, I don't think gets the credit it deserves, I guess, for what it is. When you think about what God gave us here, He left us a book. The last part of it is His word to the New Testament church, which we're in today. And this is how it works. This is my anointed word that was given by inspiration of the third part of the Blessed Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. He inspired men to write this down. Only a book like this. Not wrong to read other books, but don't read other books at the expense of this book. It's really important. Okay. All right, so now we know about, and here I have some examples here on worry. Steve has already given us 1 Peter 5:7, so we don't need to talk about that. We don't even need to talk about these examples. All I'm saying here is, if you're putting God's Word in first place, you begin to ask, when you worry, what does the Word say about this? When you sin, what does the Word say? What does the Word say when you sin? And it covers that too, doesn't it? What do you do? What are you supposed to do? 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 it. That's what you do. And what does 1 John 1:9 say?
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Isn't that a good promise?
That's great.
Now, people say, well, I know that. What's the big deal? Listen, here's the big deal. Whatever you do wrong, I don't care what it is, I don't care how many times you do it, if you confess it to God, He's faithful and just to forgive you. I lean on that a lot. Mm-hmm. I lean on that a lot. I mean, in the little things, a sharp word, a cutting thing you say about someone else, well, what do you expect from them? Don't let that go. Say, Father, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I mean, if you keep yourself, listen, the wicked one doesn't touch you. But see, when we don't keep ourselves, when we let those little things slide by, when we criticize our brother or sister, even slightly, we shouldn't judge them. Okay, so the point is, there's things that the Word says about your finances, about your children, about your marriage, about your job. All of those things. Those problems are not peculiar to just one person. We all have these problems occasionally. However, the Word has something to say about every one of these things. And we need, like Daniel said, study the Bible topically, and little by little, year by year, you'll add to add to what you know, and your sword becomes stronger, sharper. Because you not only know this word, how to operate on it yourself, you also know word that you can use to just skewer the enemy when he comes against you. You can do, it is written, Satan, and he can't come against that word. He did just like Jesus did. It is written, Satan. You can't rob my finances. You take your hands off my finances. I'm a tither. I'm walking in love. You take your hands off my finances right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind you in this area. You can do that, and he has to stop. So the next thing you do, is once you know that the word is in first place in your life, what's left to do? To do it. This is the bottom line. All the other things were nothing other than preparation to do it. The first thing, you recognize the integrity of God's word, was so that eventually we can do it. The second thing, meditating in God's word, was so eventually you can do it. The third thing, putting God in first word in first place, is so that you can appreciate it enough to do it. And when you do it, things happen. But you can't do it if you don't know what it says. Now, doing God's word is a key to receiving God's best. Four different places I put that down here. Joshua 1:8, we know what that says, right? If you meditate in my word day and night and observe to do all that's written therein, turn not from it to the right or to the left, then you shall what? Prosper, succeed, deal wisely in the affairs of life. See, there is a blessing. Doing God's word then is a key to receiving God's best. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's see. Who'd like to read verses 1 and 2 here? Go ahead.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
Look what that says there. Does that sound like Joshua 1:8 or not?
Mm-hmm.
It'll come to pass if you shall what? Hearken diligently. Does that sound like inclining your ear? Let him not depart from your eyes? Keep them in the midst of your heart? Hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God to do what? For what reason, Daniel?
To observe.
To observe and to do. See, that's why. You're hearkening diligently to the voice of the Lord. Are you doing that just to hear his voice? No. You're listening to the voice of the Lord so you can do what he said. Here it is again. And if you do the things he said, God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. You want to be set on high above everyone else? Be a doer of the word. And all these blessings, listen, that you're about to read about, these are Abraham's blessings, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. I meditated on that one time and I had a picture in my mind of all these blessings chasing me down and jumping on me. To me, when something overtakes me, it's starting to pass me. It's catching up with me. God's saying, if you just become a doer of my word, you can't escape my blessings. That's what that says to me. You can't outrun my blessings. But the key is to observe, to do his word.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
I like 13 too, verse 13.
Yeah, go ahead. Read it.
And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them.
To do them. And see all those ones in between there, Matt. See, that's kind of summarizing them. All the ones in between are those blessings you can have, and it covers every aspect of your life. But the key is to become a doer of the word. You know, folks, you know, if you're really getting this down in your spirit, to me, the highest calling of a Christian is to become a doer of the word. That is telling God, I really, really respect your word. I really understand that this is the pathway to blessing, not to reward me, but because this is the way you work, God. I'm going to align myself with spiritual laws that allow you to bless me. That's really what we're saying here. I'm aligning myself with your word, which contains all these spiritual laws. And he wants to bless us so much. As for me, in my house, we have decided we want to be blessed. I mean, considering the alternative, blessing's much better than cursing.
It is.
And the enemy will, you know, does he just leave Christians alone because they got the Spirit of God in them and they can whomp him in the head anytime they want to? Not if they don't know their rights and privileges. He'll bug them just like anybody else. And we all know examples of that. All right? Open your Bibles to James chapter 1. I want you to see, I want to get really, you know these scriptures, but just take them all together. I want it to really impact your spirit, what God is saying, if you become a doer of his word. All right, let's see. Who'd like to read verses 20 through 25 of James chapter 1? Who hasn't read yet? Anybody got that? Wants to read?
I do, but mine doesn't have the same.
Doesn't?
No.
Well, try us.
22 and 23?
Yeah.
It says, and remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to. If you don't obey, you are only fooling yourself. For if you just listen and don't obey it, it is like looking at your face in a mirror, but doing nothing to improve your appearance.
Well, says it, doesn't it?
Yeah, but...
Obey is not so much the word, maybe, but obey his word. Do his word.
What version is that?
What he's saying here again is, listen, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Now, verse 25, did you read this very slowly? Go ahead, Sydney, read it in your Bible.
24.
25?
I said read 24
then. I thought you did, but maybe
no,
you didn't. Okay, read 24 or 25.
24, okay. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you keep looking steadily into God's perfect law, the law that sets you free. And if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it.
Sounds pretty clear to me.
Pretty clear to me.
What's that last part there, Sydney?
If you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it.
God will bless you for doing it. God will bless you for doing it. Isn't that what we've been hearing in every one of these places? God will bless the doer of the word. God will bless the doer of the word. God will bless the doer of the word. Psalm 1 says the same thing. Meditate in my word and don't stand with the ungodly. Don't hang around with sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful, but meditate in my word and God will bless you, it says. I'm just saying this over and over. God is telling us, if you want my blessings on your life, become a doer of my word. To become a doer of my word, you're going to have to meditate in my word. To meditate in my word, you're going to have to understand that it's pretty important to spend the time, if you're going to spend the time. But see, those are the steps. There's no shortcut, but there's great blessings for this. You know, if you just set your heart to say, I am going to be a doer of the word, and stick with that, in 1 year, you will not know yourself or your family. You'll be so separated from God's, the world, and also moving in his blessings. Now, sometimes, you notice he's told Joshua three times something to be careful of. He said, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, because I'm telling you right now, if you're going to become a doer of the word, you're going to have to be strong and courageous, because the enemy will try to get you off of being a doer of the word. And he will use your best friends, he will use your wife, he will use your husband, he will use anybody he can find to try to get you from doing this. And it'll be worse in the beginning than later, because after a while you get wise to him. And after a while he'll see that he can't get, but especially in the beginning, he will put up a pretty good fight. Because he knows that this is the thing that separates Christians from the rest of the world. It begins to make them stand out. And he does not want the Christian to stand out in this world. He's got most Christians so fouled up, just surviving. And just getting from one day to the next for themselves. They don't have time to help anybody else. They're just barely making it themselves. How in the world could they help somebody else? They say, Christians, you need to be out witnessing. You need to be handing out some tracts. You need to do this. You need to do that. Whatever God tells you to do. How can I? I'm just so occupied.
I got an email like that once, and it had, you know, Satan and the demons were sitting around. Well, if we can't, you know, keep them out of heaven, we can at least keep them busy so they can't do very much else. And
yeah.
Had all these, I mean, it was just, it was true. I mean, it just made you think that's really what they could be doing, all the things in the world that can keep you so busy.
But, you know, it's a wonderful life. Yeah, that. When you start doing this, the joy and the peace that you get in your spirit makes all the rest of it worthwhile. I mean, at times it'll be tough when people don't understand and you're criticized maybe unfairly or something like this, but that's okay. I mean, you can think they did it to Jesus, and he did it right. You don't have to equate, well, if I'm being criticized, then maybe I'm doing something wrong. No, not necessarily. If you're doing what this Bible says here, and you're not shoving it in people's face, I don't mean to say, well, I'm doing the word, and I don't know what you're doing, but I'm sure doing, you know, that's not what we're talking about here. You don't tell somebody else. You just go and do the word. Do it in love, and do it quietly. Don't make a big to-do about it. Just do what the word says. You don't have to tell anybody else. Just do it. And let God be your cheerleader. Let God be the one that promotes you. Let God be the one that puts you ahead and brings the blessing. You know, because if you, you know, do your alms before men, you know, or, you know, you're not going to get those things. You know, it's like you always see in the paper, these people hand this big check to somebody. Well, they just lost their reward. You know, I mean, go ahead, Steve. What'd you have to say?
For me, I think the big difference comes in knowing that I'm only temporarily a physical being. Primarily, I'm a spirit being. And my earthly tabernacle, my earthly tent, my earth suit only has animation while my spirit's in it.
Right.
Like my clothes, when I take my clothes off, they just lay there. No, they don't do anything when they're not on me. Same way with this old body in this world. Mm-hmm. And what do? We get caught up in the things that are passing away. Instead of the eternal things.
That's absolutely true. That doesn't mean we can't have fun and do things and it's wrong to work out, but we just mean you got to keep in perspective. You've got to put God first and His Word first. And then the other things you want to do, you can do, but do His stuff first. And then the rest of it will bring you joy and when you do them. You know, I'm having to balance these things. Not everybody has to balance this. I balance it with, you know, running and some of the things I like to do. You know, I've learned a long time ago, I quit running for years when I used to run because it got to be an obsession. And God just said, stop it. You know, this is, there's so many things I want to teach you right now, and you're so caught up in this and for the wrong reasons, I just want you to stop it. And I cried. I was in the shower one day, and God was speaking to me about this, and I cried, and I cried. And I said, God, I have spent so much time getting to this point, and I'm just now getting to the point where I can... He said, see how important it is to you?
Yeah.
You know, it's just so important to you to do this. And he said, not only that, but one of the reasons you're doing it is because when you go with other people that are not fit, you look at them askance thinking, you know, he was right. I would go to a party or something like that, and I just got saved, and I wouldn't stay too long. I'd think, boy, there's an out of shape slob if I ever saw one. I mean, I'm being honest with you, that was wrong. And God began to show me that is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And I said, but Lord, I have spent, and this I said this out loud in the shower to God. I said, God, I have spent so much time getting to this level and doing this and getting my body. I said, my body. He says, he says, I'm going to give you a new body someday. And all of a sudden, it was just like I was right here on earth, and all of a sudden he pulled me up about way high, and it looked down to see how infinitesimally unimportant what I was so caught up in. He said, I'm going to give you a new body. What's this big deal about the body? And so I let it go. And I had to do that. And for years, I never did anything. And then gradually, I stayed away from it. I wouldn't, you know, Mike, you want to run? You know, races are coming up. You can get back in shape again, do this. No, no. I will never. I'm not going to do that. And I wouldn't say why, but I just won't do that. Finally, one day, God had to give me, it's all right. It's okay now. You're past the point where it's going to be dangerous for you. If you want to do it, just don't let it get like it did before, you know. So God likes us to have hobbies and things we like to do. He just doesn't want them to be all-encompassing, all-obsession, you know. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these other things can be added unto you. So, you know, hopefully, I still have to watch it, though. You know, and we all do. We never get to the point where we don't have to watch ourselves. We don't get to the point one day where we say, well, no temptation can take me anymore. You know, I'm there. I have arrived. None of us ever get there. We're trying to do better every year, but, well, do God's Word. Here's a couple of examples of people that did God's Word. I'm not going to look these up because we don't have time tonight, but how about Naaman? Does everybody know the story of Naaman? What was his problem?
Leprosy.
What did he do to solve his problem?
First
he tried to search out a certain person, didn't he?
Oh, that's right.
He heard there was a prophet in Israel by the name of Elisha. And so he went searching Elisha to find if he could heal him. And Elisha just said, didn't even talk to him. He sent his servant Gehazi out to him and said, tell him to wash the Jordan 7 times and to come. And he got incensed. He thought, I'm head of all the military, and I come over here, I'm a general, and this prophet, who I thought was going to heal me, sends his servant out, says, wash in the Jordan, says, first of all, he says, we got 2 rivers where I come from that are a lot cleaner than this river I've seen. And so he started fighting with his mind, like we all do sometimes. And then one of his servants says, Master, if he'd asked you to do something really hard, wouldn't you have done it to be healed of this disease? And, you know, this is easy. So he washed in the Jordan 7 times, and what happened? He was healed, right? He was healed, wasn't he? Now, what if he hadn't washed in the Jordan? Would he have been healed? So what did he do? He did God's Word. God's Word can come through the Bible, and that's where it is for most of us Christians, because we have the Bible now. It can come, now it can come through the Bible in a couple of ways. Now, this is very important, so listen. It can come in from the Bible as a principle that always applies. You understand what I mean by principle? Honesty is always applicable to any situation. All right? Good character, purity, all these things are always pliable. In other words, you don't have to go to God and say, oh, God, should I sleep with that woman? Should I do this? I mean, if you're not married, no, you shouldn't do that. I mean, the Bible covers that, right? Some of these things are just principles in God's Word. Now, there's other things that you can read that are called rhema to you for this time and for this place in your life. You can read a scripture and it speaks to your heart. Now, does everybody that has leprosy, if they go wash in the Jordan, is it going to work for them? No. That was a rhema to Naaman. That was a special word to him only. Peter walked on the water. And Jesus was walking in the water, and Peter says, Master, can I come to you on the water? And Jesus said, come. That was the word of God for this situation. Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water because he acted on the word of God. You understand how this works? You act on the word, God comes. He won't let you sink. He won't let your disease stay if you act on his word. Now, in these particular cases of walking on the water and bathing in the Jordan, those were special things. If you're out fishing and you have to go to the bathroom and there's a little porta potty on the shore and your fishing buddy doesn't want to go to the bathroom right now, can you get out of the boat and walk across the water because you want to go to the bathroom? Yeah. Not unless you have a word of God for it. Because that was a rhema for Peter. That was a special word for that time and for that place for Peter. Yet there are principles in God's Word. Now, I'm saying this because people get in trouble with this. They'll take one word and they'll act on it and say, well, it worked for Naaman, and that's what I'm going to do, and that's the Word of God, by George, and I'm going to... No, that was only for Naaman for that time and for that place. That wasn't a principle in God's Word. There is not a principle in God's Word that says if you have leprosy, you go wash in the Jordan River seven times, you'll come away clean. That was only for Naaman for that time and that place. So that is not a principle, that's not a rule, it's not a spiritual law. However, there are rules, principles, and spiritual laws in the Word. For example, what you say with your mouth and believe in your heart will come to pass. That's a spiritual law. Because it's for whosoever. Jesus said, verily, 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 I say unto you that whosoever shall speak unto this mount, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have, who shall have, whosoever, whatever he saith. See, that's a law. That's a principle. That works for anybody. But I'm saying this kind of strong because I have come up with Christians that have acted on rhemas that weren't for them and they got in trouble. You know, for example, Kenneth Copeland said one time, I heard him say, God told him to give away his airplane and get him a better one, a nicer one. And so Kenneth Copeland gave away his airplane. He sold an airplane to receive another airplane. And he did. Another guy did that. He never got his airplane. He came to Kenneth Copeland and says, how come I never got my airplane? He says, what are you talking about? He says, well, you gave away your airplane. You got another one. Well, you know, if you give away to the gospel, you'll be blessed. You might not be blessed with another airplane. But, you know, this guy was acting on a rhema for Kenneth Copeland. And it was for Kenneth, for that time and for that place. Now, sowing and reaping always works. That's a law. But it doesn't mean just because Kenneth Copeland gave away his airplane that, you know, he's speaking to you to give away your airplane. But we need to give away things if we want to reap. Do you understand the difference there? One's a law and one is just a rhema for that person. So we have to be careful here. We need to do the word, but 90% of the time, the word you need to do is a principle that's in God's word, you know. Once in a while, though, why does he give his rhemas once in a while? Because sometimes what he wants you to do is more detailed than a principle is going to give you. For example, you know, sowing and reaping always works. What you believe in your heart, say with your mouth, always works. Healing always works if you understand what the word of God, I mean, that's for everyone, that's for all. But some things are rhema words. Now, these things for Peter and Naaman were just for them at that time. And there's others, like Joshua. I mean, if you want, you know, if you're in the military and you have to conquer Baghdad and you're trying to get in there and conquer it, I mean, if they just start praying around there seven times, you know, and, you know, six times once a day for 6 days, and the seventh day seven times and then blow their trumpets, does that mean Baghdad's walls are going to fall down? No. That was for Joshua, for right then. That is not a spiritual law. I think, you know, we got the point there. Logos principles are God's written word. Logos means the totality of God's word. Rhema would be a specific word for you right now on a situation. That's like you're reading the Bible and all of a sudden something just jumps off the page and you just know God is speaking to you through that verse. And have you ever done this? And you share it with someone else and you say, look at this. This is, isn't this something? And they go, I guess. Well, that's not their rhema. That's your rhema. That's God speaking to your heart. That's why your spirit lit up on that. But the other spirit isn't lighting up so much because it isn't for them. That was a specific thing for you to do for this time and for this place in your life. Not a year from now, but right now for your life where it is. For example, you know, if God tells you to do something, sometimes a year later it's too late. He wants you to do something right now, and you decide a year later God said to do something, well, you better check again because that opportunity may have passed. If he speaks to your heart and say, invest in such and such a stock, you better not wait a year. Who knows what's going to happen in a year? So I just wanted to point out that tonight that this is the last lesson on how to train your spirit. I'm praying about one more on hindrances because Steve mentioned to me last week that he thought it would be something he'd like to hear. What things can get in the way of God blessing us? I'm praying about that to see if that might be something God might want us to talk about. We've talked about all the things God wants to do. Now what about the things that we may not know about or the things that can block God from helping us, even though we're doing the word in some areas? For example, let me give you an example. Sowing and reaping. Let's say finances. You need finances and you're tither and you're not getting them. Is that the only thing God has to say about receiving from him in financial areas? No, it's not. I used to think if you would just give, you'd have to receive or God would be breaking his word. God has some things to say about these things. That, for example, if you're not walking in love, you've taken yourself... That's the primary one right there. You've taken yourself out of being eligible for some of these things because that's the most basic thing. So you can give all of your own away. And if you have not love, it profits you nothing. I mean, if you go back and read the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, a lot of people don't talk about those verses, but it says, if I have all this and have not this, it profits me nothing. So we'll see where we go next week.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Our lesson tonight is homework. It's lesson 72. Remember we had four steps we were talking about in training our spirit. The first one was to recognize the integrity of God's Word. The second one was to meditate in God's Word. The third one was to put God's Word in first place. That's the homework we're going to talk about right now. And then finally, doing God's Word. So let's go over the homework from last week's lesson, which was lesson 72, okay? Proverbs 4:20 to 23 says we are to do four things with God's Word. Name any three of those four things. Seth, you name all of them. Go for it. Yeah.
I wrote down three. Keep them, give attention to them, and incline your ear to them.
Keep them? Say it again.
Give attention to them.
Give attention to them.
Incline your ear to them.
Incline your ear to them. Very good. That's three of the four things right there. Anybody know what the fourth one was? Just for while we're doing it. Seth got three of the four. My son, attend to my words. That's one of them that Seth had. Incline your ear into my sayings. That was the second one Seth had. Then the third one was, let them not depart from before thine eyes. And then Seth had the fourth one. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That's what those verses say. Good job, Seth. Thank you. What question will we begin to ask when we decide to put God's Word in first place? What's the natural consequence of deciding to put God's Word in first place? What question are you going to ask, Karen?
I'm going to ask?
Yeah. What's the question that you're going to begin to ask yourself when you decide to put God's Word in first place?
I wonder if this will work.
I wonder if this will work. Wrong. Beat.
What does it say?
What does the word say? Or does God's word have something to say about this? As you begin to put God's word in first, yes, honey.
I need a copy of the
word. I don't have any more.
Oh, sure. Okay, because I know I'm going to be one for
Gee, spent all that time doing all that homework and lost it. What a shame. We were on vacation. I just give her a heart.
Maybe that's what happened. I just clicked off. Okay, sorry.
All right. Pick two common problems people have and then describe what they would do if they put the word in first place. Let's have a couple. I want these lessons to be practical, not some sort of spiritualization of things that we don't know, that we never experienced. But, you know, we're talking about down-to-earth, everyday types of things. What does the word say? What are some everyday type things that we have to face? Anybody?
Financial.
What?
Love.
Lack of or too much of?
No. I'll give you an example.
Okay. All right, sure.
When I first turned to the Lord, I'd been dumped by my fiance, and I couldn't do much about it, because I was an Air Force pilot, and I couldn't get away. And so I got on my knees and said, Lord, if you're out there, I need to help me. Well, it took a little time, but there she is. And she's a lot better than the fiance.
So what was the problem? Lack of love, yeah. And you needed it at the time, right?
I was a terrible bachelor.
Terrible bachelor. Okay. What would you do to receive love if you put the word in first place now that you know? What? Pray for love?
How about give?
Give love.
What do you have to? Sow love.
Yeah.
Love.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sowing and reaping, right?
Yeah.
You want love? So love. You want a friend? Be a friend.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on and on. Right. That's very good. What else? Let me another problem. Oh, financial. Okay. You got a financial problem. You say, gee, what am I going to do? And then you stop and think, wait a minute, what does the word say? What does the word say, Chuck, about tithe? What? Plant more. Sow more.
Sow a seed.
Sow a seed. Which is tithing, right? And anything else?
Seek first the kingdom of God.
What does that mean?
Put him first.
Put him first. All right.
All these things will be evident.
What does the word say about if I give away all that I have, but have not what? It profits me nothing. That love has a way of sneaking in everywhere, doesn't it?
Yep.
It really does. So, you know, I didn't know that for a while. I thought, just give away and you'll receive. And that is part of it. But that's not the only thing. You can give away everything you got. And if you don't have love, it won't profit you anything. It'll profit the other person, but it won't profit you.
Well, your faith won't work. It's faith worketh by love.
Faith worketh by love. Love has got itself in there everywhere. And if you take it out, everything falls flat. Everything. You thought you loved something. When you found love, it solved all your problems, right?
Yeah.
It's a wise answer, Sark.
Yes.
Okay.
Thou shalt not lie.
Thou shalt not lie. Well, we've already done the next question, so let's go on to the next one. Name two Bible instances. Yes, sir.
Gideon and Noah. Can we read the question?
Let me read the question, and then you can answer it. Name two Bible instances not discussed in class where a person did exactly what God said and because of that, receive the promise.
Gideon and Noah.
Gideon and Noah. What did Gideon receive?
He received his enemies being defeated.
Right. And what did Noah receive? He didn't die in the flood, right. And what did he do that... See, what did God say for him to do? And he did it. And
yeah.
Noah.
Get two of every animal into the ark and build this...
He had to build this huge boat. It took him how long? Anybody know?
100 years.
100 years, right. Can you imagine working on a boat for 100 years in front of a bunch of people that had never seen rain? Because according to the Word of God, till that time it had never rained. I mean, that's got to be crazy. You're trying to describe people what you're building this boat for. Well, for the rain. What's that?
What's a boat?
Yeah, what's a boat? There you go. What's a boat?
I think they knew what a boat was.
100 years. 100 years. That's pretty...
It's a long time to be ready.
That's a long time to hang on to God's word, isn't it? Without seeing anything.
Yes, in the natural, I think the thrill would have worn off.
Yeah, for most of us, it's about 2 days. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking when you said that. It's like, I'm very bad about
maintaining enthusiasm over a long period.
Yes, I'm good at starting things.
I wonder if God had to every couple of days say, you know, keep it up. You're doing just what I want you to. And
Hebrews 10:35.
Huh?
That's my verse.
What's that? I didn't.
Hebrews 10:35.
Oh, yeah. Cast not away.
Need of endurance.
How about Moses?
Moses?
Mm-hmm.
What did he do specifically?
Well,
what did God tell him?
God told him to cross the Red Sea. So.
And he did it.
What did he do? Well, he had to put his foot in the water before it parted.
Right. He had to act on his faith,
and
didn't he?
Had,
well, he put that old rod down and that old
sea split.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people say, well, no big deal, really, because the Red Sea was so shallow then, you know.
Uh-huh.
It could have just waded across. Well, how did all those Egyptians drown?
Yeah.
In a deep water.
They wanted to comment.
All right, now if you're so good, this is a little harder. Name two Bible instances, also not discussed in class, where a person didn't do what God said and because of that did not receive the promise. Not in class. It's got to be something fresh.
Samson.
Samson.
Mm-hmm.
Boy. Okay, give us the example. What did God tell him to do?
Never cut his hair.
And what did he do?
And told the lion, she got his hair cut.
And then what happened?
He ended up defeating a bajillion Philistines then, but yet.
He lost his strength, didn't he?
God created him and gave him back strength. And
boy, you're right. You know your Bible stuff, don't you there? Good job.
I know the Old Testament pretty well.
I didn't have that one down. Anybody else have something where a person didn't do what God said and because of that did not receive
Lot's
the promise?
Wife.
Huh?
Lot's wife.
I got that one. Yeah, Lot's wife. God says, now don't look back. That's a good example. That's good, isn't it? Don't look back. She what? Look back and what happened?
Turned
to that's a good example.
How about all the,
no, that's good.
The Israelites that were supposed to go across the Jordan and didn't?
All right. We discussed that in class, but that's a perfect example, yeah. That's a good example. Go ahead.
Eve.
Adam and Eve, yeah. I always say Adam and Eve because, you know, you're kind of in this together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like she was the Lone Ranger on this thing. You know, and he's supposed to exert some influence there, too.
Here is my... I wasn't even meditating on looking at any scripture that had anything to do with this, but I felt I wrote this out, what God said about that I don't have to answer to God for my husband, so he will have to answer for me. But that doesn't relieve me of still having to do what I'm supposed to not lead him to be angry or... So, that's some people.
Well, you really thought this through, haven't you?
I have nothing to do with this. What God told me this week.
Wow. That's good. All right. What do verses Joshua 1:7-8, Deuteronomy 28:1-2, James 1:22-25 have in common? That means you had to actually open your Bible and read those verses.
You don't think you have them memorized by now?
Huh?
So you don't think you have them memorized?
I bet you do, because I use these in a lot. What do they have in common? Each one of those verses.
Do the word.
Anybody know?
Do the word.
Do the word. And what are the consequences? Every one of those lists of consequences of doing the word. And be blessed. Joshua 1:7-8 says, if you meditate my word day and night and observe to do all that's written therein and turn not from it to the right or the left, you shall what? Prosper and deal wisely in the affairs of life. Deuteronomy 28:1-2 is the introduction to the blessing of Abraham. It says, if you observe to do the word, these blessings shall overtake you. And it goes on to list all the blessings. And James 1:22-25 says, don't be a hearer of the word only, but a doer of the word. And that person will be blessed in what they do. So, do the word and be blessed. All right, true or false? If anyone ever gets leprosy, they can just travel to Israel and wash in the Jordan River 7 times and the leprosy will leave.
False.
Is that false or true?
False.
That's false. Why is it false? Because that is not a principle in God's word. It is just a... a specific word for this particular time, in this instant, for that person is the rhema, right?
Yes. That's rhema to that person.
For that person. Okay, so that worked at that time. It's not a principle that every time someone wrenches in the Jordan, they're going to, you know...
Right.
We have a better principle. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed.
Right.
All right, that is a principle. That is a law, if you act on it, and rightly divide it. Okay? So... I'm just bringing this out to bring out that everything the Bible promises in the Bible isn't something necessarily that's applicable to everyone at all times. And while they're there, if they just need to get to the other side of the river, they can just walk on the water because God did it for Peter and God's no respecter of persons. That's false too, because that was a rhema from God for Peter for that particular time. It's not to say it won't ever happen again, but you know, you can't just be out in the lake fishing and decide you want to go to the shore and still walk across the water just because you think it'd be more convenient and your buddy doesn't want to go yet, he's still fishing. You just can't do that. It was a rhema just for that time. Name some promises in God's word that God designed to work every time. These are that are principles in God's word now. Just give me some examples, Seth.
Forgiveness.
If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive you your sin every single time, not just for one person. Give me another one.
Salvation.
Every single person that confesses Jesus as their Lord and believes that Jesus Christ rose from the dead shall be saved, because that says, if anyone does this, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Yes.
Healing.
Now see, there we go into an area that's absolutely true, what Karen says, but yet, a lot of the body of Christ would go, really? Healing every time? Is this a principle?
By stripes ye were
healed. See?
Were is past tense.
As far as God's concerned, that is a principle that's settled for all time for every person. It's up to us now to act upon that principle and to get in position to receive from God on that. You know, there's things that can block that. But that is something God designed to work every single time. Jesus went to the cross and he took those stripes. That so by his stripes you could be healed and you could walk in healing. All right, so that's a principle. Okay, name another one.
Prosperity.
Good job. This is good for a young man to sit there and know these things that are going to do him well the rest of his life. Prosperity, because we were what? Redeemed from what? The curse of the law. And what was in that curse? One of the things was poverty, right? And we're now eligible for the blessing of Abraham. And what was some of the things in that blessing? Prosperity. That's good, Seth.
Sowing and reaping.
That's a principle. What you sow, you will reap. That's a principle. Good.
For someone his age, I'm surprised he even shows up.
That's a good point, too.
That Matt and I said, well, why don't you take Seth tonight? Because I stayed in the hospital that night. I stayed home. Here's Matt. He didn't want to tell him. So he came home and apologized. I want to start calling.
Well, he's a real good addition to the group, I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
He is.
That's a compliment for our leader.
I think he just likes the word. Okay, we've given a lot of these things, giving and receiving, sowing and reaping, prosperity. How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's for everybody. Everybody hasn't received it, and everybody's not convinced it's for everybody, but it is. It's one of the promises in the Word.
How about asking in faith?
Asking in faith. There's a good principle. You might even say prayer benefits or prayer answers. God wants us, every time we pray in the name of Jesus, God wants to answer that prayer. But sometimes we can't simply because it's not in line with His Word. But as we learn what His Word says, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can what?
Ask what you will.
And it shall be done unto you. Because the person that abides in his word isn't going to ask out of line with his word. That's excellent. It's just really good. I think that you're retaining so much of this.
I think it's so important that you're teaching. But it's bad because there are a lot of bad teachers out there, and they're probably just teaching things they were taught. But now, you know, every time I find any place that says about Jesus healing all, I always underline it. And I'm like, how did I miss this? How do people miss this and not think that that's God's will? now when, how, you know, how many scriptures are there, how much evidence is there that that's in there? And I just think that's awful that you know, people just don't know.
You know, they just don't know. You know, and it's...
For the traditions of men make it
null
and void and down. Mm-hmm.
But he gave us this for a reason, didn't he? Praise God for that.